Welcome, and thanks for joining us for today's message from the archives of Pastor Tony Alamo, presented by Help from Christ Ministries. If today's message inspires or encourages you, please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 74. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're absolutely free. We have Bible reading this evening. We have some letters and music. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord. Lord God, anoint this program, anoint me, anoint everything that's done on the program. Lord, I ask that you open up everybody's spiritual heart, their spiritual soul, their spiritual mind, and their spiritual eyes, that they can see and hear and understand the words of this message this evening, that souls will be saved by the billions, and that the church will be lifted up to higher ground. Father, we ask that you do open their eyes and their minds and their spirits to receive all these things. In the name of Jesus, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. I'd like Sharon to come here for a little bit and read some of those scriptures about how that if we're resurrected with Christ, then our life is hidden with him. And that's chapter 3 of Colossians. And then I'll explain it as we go along. Okay, go ahead.
If ye then be risen with Christ.
If you're resurrected with Christ. If the Holy Spirit has lifted you up from your carnal life to where you now are a spiritual being and you're no longer carnal, then what?
Seek those things which are above.
Read the Word of God, which is the way that you seek the things that are heavenly rather than the things of this earth. And if you're not reading the Bible, then you're not doing that, and so therefore it's for sure that you are carnal. Then go on.
Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Which means that Christ is the power of God. Because without Christ, there's no salvation. And so Christ is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, if you want to make peace with God, the only power there is to do that is through Christ. So he's the power of God, and he's the wisdom of God. Because no matter how wise you think you are, there's no other way to get into the kingdom of heaven but through Christ. So therefore, Christ is the wisdom and power of God. Now, if you think that you're wise, then you must believe without a doubt that Christ is the only wisdom of God. It's the only wise thing to believe that you can get into heaven is Christ, because there's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved to get into heaven but through the name of Christ. So Christ is the wisdom and the power enabling you or anyone else to get into heaven. Without Christ, God hasn't got any power to get you into heaven. Because unless Christ came into this world and shed his blood so that all your sins could be taken away, and unless Christ comes into your body with the Father by the Spirit, you cannot be saved. Therefore, Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. Does that offend you people, you Muslims? Are you ashamed of that? Well, then you're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Okay, and keep going.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Yeah, set your affection on the Word of God, because there isn't anything on this earth that's going to save your soul. You may like to get involved in all the mess down here and everything, but that isn't going to do you any good. Not going to help you at all. So you're just spinning your wheels, wasting your time. Then what?
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Yeah, if you come to Christ, you have to die out to your old life, and your new life that you're going to live is hidden in Christ so that no one can see your old life. That's it, hidden in Christ. And now your new life is Christ. You don't have a life anymore. You are dead. Christ took care of that. He drowned your life in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And no matter what these ministers tell you, these false ministers that God wants you to enjoy everyday life, and they make it plain that you can enjoy your life, why would they say that when the Bible says you must be dead? Go ahead, read that again.
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
So your life, the new life that you're living, is hid with Christ, and Christ is in God. God, all three is one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those three are one. Okay, you could keep going.
When Christ, who is our life...
If you're saved, if you're resurrected with Christ, then he is your life. Because if you fell away from Christ, that means you're back in the world and you don't have eternal life. Okay, so you must surrender your entire life over to Christ in order to have life. And if you have done that, then Christ is your life. Christ is in you by the Spirit, and he continues being in you by the Word, which is both Spirit and life. And remember, Christ is the life. He's the way, the truth, the only truth in the whole universe, and the life. Without Christ, God has no power to save. Now you figure that one out. Why did God have to send his only begotten Son into this world to die if he had the power to save you without Christ? Amen?
Amen.
God is absolutely, hopelessly powerless without Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Because Christ is the life. He's the power of God, the life of God, and he's also the wisdom and knowledge and the understanding of God. And without Christ, you are lost. So anyone worshiping Mary is lost. They're on their way to hell because Mary is not the life, the way, the truth, and the strength, the power, and the wisdom of God. She is nothing but a dead Jewish girl now. She got saved before she died, and so she had to accept her son that she carnally brought into the world, but it was begotten by the Holy Spirit. She physically brought that boy into the world, and my mother can't save me any more than Mary could save her son. And God cannot save anyone unless it's through the Son. The Bible says, kiss the Son, lest the Father be angry. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there's no power in God to save your soul without Christ. And God plainly states that in his Word, that his Son is the actual theme of the entire Old and New Testament. Okay, go ahead.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Why? Because you're part of the body of Christ. If you're really in Christ, then you're part of his body, a member of his body, a member of his corporate body. Then what?
Mortify therefore your members.
Yeah, so make sure you walk in the Spirit, which mortifies your flesh, your members. In other words, it deadens your flesh, your members, to where you're not lusting after different groups of people, whoever the devil tells you that is the best people. Some people think that the Negroes are the best. Some people think the Jews are the best. Some people think that the Irish are the best. Some people think Puerto Ricans are the best. But you're not to be thinking about flesh. You're to mortify the flesh so that your spirit will not be going after the flesh. Because anyone that goes after the flesh, this is evil concupiscence, nasty, sinful lusts of the flesh. And then people say, well, I did that in the past. Well, if you, after you've been saved, you did that in the past, I'd be worried if I were you. I'd be worried about facing God, because you might face him tonight. And if you think that you can relax and just think, well, that was the past, and I don't really have to worry about it because I repented about that. People that say those kind of things, it doesn't sound like you repented. You know, I don't believe that you repented, because what you're saying is not scriptural. David, is the people still talk about David having committed adultery once, and he never did it after that, but it's still a stigma, a bad testimony of him. And so how many times do you think that you can lust and for God not to know it? He knows what you're going to say before you say it. And that's why a lot of times when I start speaking and I'm going to say something that the Lord doesn't want me to say, he'll check me immediately. Don't say that. And so I'll stop and I'll wait for whatever it is that he wants me to say, and then I'll say it. So God knows everything. He even knows what you're going to say. He knows what you're going to think. And it's for sure he knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going to think before you think it. He knows what you are, and there's no way you can hide it. If you underestimate the Lord God greatly, then go ahead.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication.
Yeah, mortify that dead in fornication, because if you fornicate, you're lost. No fornicator shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And those still commit fornication in their hearts and in their minds. They're thinking constantly of fornicating with some woman or some man, or even committing homosexual or lesbian acts with men. These are things that keep going down in the book of records in the kingdom of heaven, and that your name is blotted out of the book of life, and you send strong delusions to make you believe a lie. Does that offend you? Are you offended with me, the Lord says, my word? Or is that something that you're ashamed of me for? When there's a crowd of people and they're trying to make out with you, would that make you feel ashamed to not go along with it? Because you happen to be in the crowd and you don't want to be kicked out of the, quote, in crowd, so to speak, unquote. I'm in with the in crowd. Well, I'm glad I'm not in with the in crowd. I'm the minority here on earth. I don't want to be in with what they call the in crowd. The in crowd nauseates me. I just see how foolish they are. It's like a bunch of foolish people that are just, it reminds me of people that you see. Even when I was a child, my mother used to read about these people that would not do what they were supposed to do, and then they would wind up not being able to eat. There's just so many parables of that in some of the children literature. And it's all throughout the Bible. How foolish they are. They were all committing fornication and adultery, and God wanted to kill them all. And he did, in fact, kill them all over a 40-year period and sent their souls to hell. And he did drown the whole world, you know, because they were so evil. He only saved 8 souls. And it's going to be very few people that enter the kingdom of heaven. Straight is the way. Narrow is the gate, and few there be that shall enter thereof the kingdom of heaven. But wide is the gate to destruction, and many there be that shall enter thereof. Destruction is, can you imagine just being destroyed and destroyed and destroyed eternally, every second, every moment? Of course, there's no time there. There's no seconds there. There's nothing. But it just keeps going like an ionic pentameter, like just a constant dropping on a every second of eternity. And there's no seconds there, so it just goes on and on forever, because you wanted to have fun. Okay, then what?
Uncleanness.
Oh, God, it's like filthy thoughts and filthy things that you do. Scum. I mean, to God, you look like a scumbag. And he's certainly not going to let any scumbags into heaven. Would you even allow a scumbag to come into your house? Well, then you expect God to let scumbags come into heaven? And I wouldn't serve a Lord that was going to let a bunch of scum go up there. I'm so nauseated with them here on this earth, I certainly wouldn't want to be in a heaven where there's going to be scumbags or people vomiting all over the place. What kind of a heaven would that be? Everything is perfect in heaven. There can't be any evil thing into the kingdom of God. So what it means is you have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Even though you're born again of the Spirit, you have to stay in the Spirit on a daily basis, knowing that your flesh is weak and that your flesh can be tempted into doing things that would cause your soul to go to hell. It's like a constant demanding thing where Satan's trying to send seducing spirits your way to seduce you back into the world. back into your own way of thinking instead of the Lord's way of thinking. And so you must mortify the deeds of the flesh by staying. And how do you do that? You just stay into the Word of God. Surrender your entire life over to Him. I know that you're going to think it's very hard because you have been living a life of destruction for so long that you just figure you can't do that, but you can't unless you get into the Word of God and stay there. There is absolutely no other way. You will not be able to make it unless you follow these instructions. You must surrender your whole life unto the Lord. You must stay into the Word of God daily. Otherwise, there's no way you can possibly make it. Okay? Then what?
Inordinate affection.
Inordinate affections. Wasn't that all hateful? Where you just hate everybody and you hate Christians especially. Oh, that's one thing that you're really going to get in trouble because you're offending some of the Lord's people, and it's better that a millstone would be hanged around your neck. Okay, and then what?
Evil concupiscence.
Evil concupiscence is like evil sexual desires, like your mind is lusting after this person or that person, like they do on television. They show people's rear ends while they're walking down the street, or they go up to the bathroom through, like that's supposed to be sexy. Oh my. I see smiles even in this room by a lewd person. You're supposed to have your life hidden in Christ. If your life is hidden in Christ, you wouldn't be smiling about something like that. Okay, then what?
And covetousness, which is idolatry.
Right, because covetousness, if you know what that is, you know what it is? That's when you want something that somebody else has got. Amen?
Amen.
Instead of trusting the Lord to give it to you, you got to lust after somebody's when it's not yours. You don't trust the Lord enough to give it to you, and you don't pray for it. If you prayed to the Lord for it, and you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, that kind of faith is little, but it grows. Seeds grow, amen?
Amen.
So if you got just a seed of faith in you, it'll grow up if you keep watering it with the Word of God, and you'll be able to have whatsoever you ask for. So if you're coveting somebody else's wife, now you're not going to get their wife, or you're not going to get their husband, not legitimately anyway. You might get them, but you're going to wind up in hell if you do. But pray to the Lord for things that you want, and He'll give you yours. All right? Now, I believe firmly that in this world there's a man for every woman. Or if it's a multiple marriage, there's a man, and God will give him his wife. Okay? Because that's the way the Lord is. Okay, then what?
For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience.
Right. Those that are offended with the Lord's word. Do I offend you, the Lord says? Are you ashamed of me, you rotten person? You're ashamed to tell people about me? You're going to be so sad that you were ashamed of me at the judgment bar of God. Then what?
In the which ye also walked some time.
At one time you were ashamed of the Lord, and you were offended at the word, because He says you can't have any sex with everyone that you want to. If anyone told me before that I couldn't do this or I couldn't do that, I'd tell them, get out of my way, before I was a Christian, because I was a renegade. I was crazy. I wanted to have everything that I wanted, that my flesh lusted after, and I got whatever I wanted. But after I got saved, then I realized that I had to put these things behind me. I had to hide my life in Christ. Okay? Then what?
In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them.
See, when you lived in the lusts of your flesh, then what?
But now ye also put off all these.
Now you put them all off and put on Christ. Okay, then what?
Anger, wrath, malice.
Now you can be ye angry, but sin not. You can be angry at satanic people or at Satan. And then what else to say? Anger?
Wrath.
Wrath. Yeah, you can shoo people out of the church, but you don't really need to if you're the leader of the church. You can just tell them, go, get out. And then what?
Malice.
Malice. Okay, then what?
Blasphemy.
Oh, yeah, blasphemous people have to go. I wouldn't stand for a blasphemous person in the church. And what?
Filthy communication out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Filthy is saying bad things about the Bible. That's filthy. There couldn't be anything more filthy than that, could there?
No.
Then what else?
Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Grace means power in your heart. And then what else?
And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord.
All right, you're not to be communicating with other men. Yeah, the Bible says that wives are supposed to learn from their own husbands. You can go to the pastor, but not assistant pastors or youth pastors or something like that. If there is something, a trouble between you and your husband, go to the pastor so that there is no big problem going to occur and so that there is no concupiscence in the church. Okay, then what else?
Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things.
Now, there's a lot of people that are bitter against their wives, and they have a good reason. Nowadays, you hear of women that are unsaved, and people that claim to be saved, too, that are committing adultery on their husbands. And their husbands, instead of just putting them out of the house, just try to beat the devil out of them. And, of course, the police will come and jump all over the husband. In the Old Testament, used to stone those kind of people to death. That's illegal, but of course you can't do that. My suggestion is to put them out of your home and don't ever let them come back again if they commit adultery on you. And it's for sure if you do keep them in there because you don't want them to become prostitutes, you still have to feed, clothe, and house them. But you just don't have any sexual relationships with them whatsoever. Teach them a lesson. As David did to one of his wives. Okay, then what?
Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children.
That means obey your parents in the Lord. Okay, that means you have parents that say, come on, just smoke pot, come on, let's go out and commit adultery. You're not to obey them. Okay, or let's go and have a, come on, drink some booze or whatever. Don't obey them. That means in the Lord. Okay, then what?
Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God.
Now, if any of this offends you, or if you're ashamed of God to keep these commandments, well, then you're ashamed of the Lord. He's going to be ashamed of you at the judgment fire of God. And if any of these things offend you, then you're offended at the wrong thing. I can be offended at you for being offended at the Lord. The Bible says, be ye angry at those that are angry with the Word of God. But sin not. Don't be a person that's angry with the Word of God. The Lord tells you to rebuke and to reprove people that are angry with the Word of God. Because they are not of the Lord, they're carnal. And they want sympathy from people of the Lord, and they will not receive any sympathy from me. And then what?
And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men.
Yeah, with zeal. And he'll spit you out of his mouth. Then what?
Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons.
Right. It doesn't matter. You may think that you're lovely and gorgeous or handsome and that, you know, all people just kiss up to you during your lifetime and that you think that God is going to kiss up to you too. No, he's a good God because he came and died for the sins of the world, for those that will receive his whole word. But he's also a very stern God, and he's strict, and there's no respecter of persons. If he tells you something, that's it, and you're going to find out. Because if I was the Lord, I would think of people as little monkeys. And those that sin to him are like chaff. Calling you a little monkey would be a compliment in comparison to what he calls. He calls you snakes, vipers, pigs, dogs. You're like a dog going back to your vomit, and a pig going back to the wallowing in the mire. And he says, you're chaff, and so he's going to burn you to a crisp and send your soul to the everlasting torment. And if you think what you're doing is worth it, well, go right on. You'll find out that I'm telling you the truth, but it'll be too late for you. I see that our time is up, so make sure that you tune in tomorrow. And until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. And hey, get right with the Lord right away. Ask the Lord to enter into your heart. Ask him to wash all your filthy sins away. Ask him by the Spirit, Jesus, come into my heart with the Father by the Spirit and wash all my filthy sins away. Enter into me and give me the strength that will make me more than a conqueror in you. And, Lord, I will read your word, and I will keep your word. But I know that you won't turn me away, because your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that means me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Just praise and thank the Lord, and share and tell everybody how to receive a copy of this program number 74.
Go to alamoministries.com. Email us at taoffice@alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 2948, Hollywood, California, 90078, or call area code 661-252-5686. That's 661-252-5686.
This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow so you can hear, do I offend you, Jesus asks you, and are you ashamed of me? So make sure that you tune in. Until then, this is Pastor, World Pastor Tony Alamo. God bless you. I'll see you, or you'll hear of me tomorrow if you tune in. Praise God.
For generations, many have been blessed by the anointed messages of Pastor Tony Alamo. Help from Christ Ministries is always eager to hear from our viewers. Please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.